Okay. All right. So, okay. So the first issue in Hilchos Geirim kind of gives us an introduction to why in the world it's in this section of it seems to a little bit show out of nowhere. And the answer is the first sif deals with the laws of Mila as it pertains to the laws of Geira. So some of this tonight will be somewhat of a repetition or a review of some of the things we learned while we were learning Hilchos Mila. So the first dispute here mentioned in the Tur is so that makes the comment that one who comes to be Megayer, he doesn't become Megayer ad sheyimo v'yitpol, until he both has a, it sounds like needs to both have a bris as well as do tevila. So then, immediately, there's a question that's raised, hayanimol, if you already had a bris, and then it raises a large machlokas, which is detailed in the tour, as well as in the Beis Yosef. So what is the where does the machlokas center around? So if we look in the Beis Yosef on Kuf Pei Beis, right, the very top of that page, he says, u'mashakasav ha'bal hilchos kasav she'ish lo takana shematifun imenu dam bris. That the Bahag says that if you already had a bris mila, if you're already circumcised as a non-Jew, not for the purpose of mila, so that's okay, you could do a tafas dam bris. So the Beis Yosef points out that this is coming from a Gemara in Meseches Shabbos, in the same parak Rav Eliezer de Mila, the same parak that we've been learning about from the laws of mila, where he says, if legu tanai, begir shenis gayer kishu hu mo'o. That a about a ger that once that was megayer that converted at and already had a bris in tzarich lahatif himenu dam bris, if you have to take out a little bit of blood for the bris imlav, or if not v'chin nechleku benolad kishu mol. And the same they also argue about the case of a nolad, somebody who was born already having a bris mila, implying that it would be the same machlokas. I mean, if the bris was already done, is there still a commandment to go ahead and do the bris? Now, what is a little bit of surprising is that this Beis Yosef is quoting a Gemara in Rebbe Eliezer de Mila, and yes, the Gemara there does comment on a machlokas tanayim about this very matter, and it actually is a very old machlokas tanayim. It's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and in fact, Beis Hillel is the one that comes out on the side of that you do not require hatafas dam bris in that situation. So when you have a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we generally paskin like Beis Hillel. I went to look if this is actually recorded as an example of not paskin like Beis Hillel, but the truth is we don't paskin like Beis Hillel. Tosfos on that page points out that there is other Gemaras that seem to be under the assumption that no, one would require hatafas dam bris. One of those is a Gemara that has a machlokas tanayim about if a person shows up and says, I already had a bris l'shem geiris, all I need to do is go to the mikvah, right? So the Gemara there has a machlokas whether we would believe him for those purposes or not. So Tosfos points out, and the Rush as well points out, they say, wait a second, this isn't the kind of thing where you only have to go on believing him, right? Just look, right? The evidence should be there as to whether he has had a bris or not, unless you assume that no, it's not just enough to be circumcised, you need to have hatafa, you need to have a circumcision, a bris, the shame mila. Right, so that, and there are several other Gemaras that seem to imply that there is a requirement for a bris mila for l'shem geirus, for the purpose of geirus, and that in fact is how we paskin, as we'll see once we get to the Shulchan Aruch.
Now, the
machlokas
between the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel said that
no, it says in the case, it's specifically talking about the case of Mila. Hold on. It's specifically talking about, it's on what? Daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amad Aleph. And the Gemara there says, "Alman nechleku al ger shinis gayer kishuhu mol." On a ger that had a geirus when he already was probably circumcised, right? Shebe shamai omrim shetzarech lahatif menu dambris, but beisil omrim ain't tzarech lahatif menu dambris. That beishamai says that you would require hatafas dambris, and beisil would say that you don't. So Tosfos right on the page raises the point that, well, that's nice. It seems like we don't paskin like Beis Hillel, although he doesn't say it explicitly. Oh, look at that. It's Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. We paskin like Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. This points out that Gemaras later on seem to assume that a bris milah would be required. Okay? But, not a bris milah would be required, but that a hatafas dam bris would be required. Okay, so that's... Yeah, well, there's nothing, you know... that if there's nothing there, there's nothing there, right? That's okay, so then the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef here continues. V'chein pasak ha-rif, v'chein pasak ha-rambam, perak af mihilchus milah, v'zeu lishono, ger shenichnas l'kal Yisrael, chayiv milah t'chila. That a ger who enters into the kehila of Yisrael is chayiv mila techila first. V'imal kishahaya goy tzarech lahati menu dambris. And if you already had his circumcision when he was a goy, when he was not Jewish, so tzarech one would we should go ahead and do a tafas dambris biyom shmini shenisgayer on the eighth day after he converts. What in the world does the eighth day after he converts have to do with this? So the Beis Yosef continues on and says, "This is v'amasha hitzir chatavas dam bris b'yom shmini yesh l'kboa." What? The fact that you need a bris on the eighth day, right? It's a wonderment. Teheichan matzinu begir sheitzarech b'yom shmini. Right? Where do we find that a ger would require a bris on day eight? Adaraba amrinu kibel malino so miyad mishum deshaya mitzvah lo mishinin. Rather, we should do the bris right away, because we shouldn't be delaying mitzvos. So the Beis Yosef is saying, what is the Rabbah talking about getting a bris on day 8? In fact, there's a further question of day 8 of what? Day 8 from the beginning, the end, etc. So the truth is, if you open up a modern Rambam, if you open up a Frankel Rambam, the Rambam doesn't actually have those words. Rambam takes the Frankel Rambam takes those words out. He says that was a rant, that was an error that was inserted at some point. There is no halacha that one would require the eighth day, and in fact, to the point that the Frankel Rambam takes it out of the text of the Rambam, and that doesn't make any sense. It was added at some other point.
It does make sense that you have to get the bris before you do the
that too. All right. Right. So the day. What's the eighth day from what? The eighth day from when he decides. Doesn't it?
Is that for what?
Right. All right. Exactly. That's the point, yeah. Okay, so the Beis Yosef continues on and says, that the Bala Itter says, however, that if the child was born gemalant, he was already born with a bris, so he wouldn't have to atav his dam bris. Near midvarshu cholik albag seems to argue on the Bahag, but we don't paskin. We paskin that one would require a bris in both circumstances. Okay. Let's skip a little bit in the Beis Yosef. If you look on the now onto page Kuf Pei Gimel, so about 8 lines down, in the third or fourth skinny line, it says Kasav Haran Beperek Rabbi Eliezer Demila, right? The Shita Aran here. Shadas Haramban Dal Ger Ve'Eved Shniskayru Kesheim Mehulin Mevarich Lahatis Dam Bris Min Hagayim. That when you have a ger or an eved that is converting, when they already had a bris, you make a bracha of lahatif dam bris min hagayim, o min ha'avadim. She'en ha'tafazu misafek, elevadai. She'anu chayim lahatif imenu, dam bris lachnisim evriso chil avam ravinu. Uvanichnasim tachas kanfei hashchina. Because we definitely require that for the purpose of the person becoming Jewish. Aval Harambam Kasa Perak Gimel Mihilchus Mila, She'ein Mavarchin, that you wouldn't make a bracha in such a case. Efshar Derefuyi Merafiya Biadeha Im Tzarech Lahatif V'Lefichach Pasuk Shematifin Ve'ein Mavarchin. That it could be I guess it could be potentially be a form of healing, and therefore one wouldn't make a bracha on a Hatafas Dam Bris. So this is an interesting point. We've discussed this in Hilchos Mila, but it is a very important yisod. Just bring it to our attention again. The Rambam appears towards the very end of Hilchos Mila, and the Rambam says there that a ger that had a bris before a geiris took place, or a katan that was born with a bris, when you do a tavas dam bris, you don't have to do the bracha. And similarly, an androgynous that one would not make a bracha because it's only done by a, it's not a vada, it's not a certainty that that obligation is required. So the Ravid here makes the point that, wait a second, we paskin suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. He says, wait a second, what do you mean? The whole thing is based on a suffik, it's a din d'oraisa, so suffik d'oraisa l'chumra, and therefore it's required, the Rabbanan have declared that one is required to be machmir on suffik d'oraisas, so therefore it should require a bracha as well, right? That's what the Ravid asks. So what's interesting is that this question was asked, I think we discussed this in Hilchos Mila, was pointing that the Ravid was actually older than the Rambam. So the Chachmei Lunil, the people living around where the Lunil is in Provence, which is southwestern France, right? The border between France and Spain is kind of like its own region, and its own region in Halacha, the Chachmei Provence. So the Chachmei Provence sent this Shaila to the Rambam and asked him himself, hey Rambam, why is it that you're not going to require a bracha? Don't we assume Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra? And therefore Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra would dictate that you have to do a Tafas Dam Bris. And therefore if you're doing a Tafas Dam Bris, but you're required to, you should have to make a bracha on it. After all, doesn't the Gemara tell us in Baba Madlikin, in dealing with the laws of Hanukkah, that one would have to, one makes a brachos on Dinei D'Rabbanan, and even when it's off, well, I don't know what exactly the suffix was, and he gives some exceptions there. So the Rambam answers back by saying that no, that any time that the that any time you're making a bracha raises the question of a bracha levatala. So you're actually at risk. So yes, it's true the Rabbanan can enforce a bracha on their own mitzvos, but only when you'll certainly be mekayim, certainly fulfill that mitzvah. But when it's only a suffix whether you're fulfilling the mitzvah, so then it would not have a bracha. So therefore, so the Gemara itself actually raises the question of, what about a second day of Yontif? Why do we make a bracha on the second day of Yontif during Kiddush? So there the Gemara itself responds by saying, plus if you wouldn't, then people would be mevaza the second day of Yontif. Meaning we have enough problems already with people kind of being mevaza the second day of Yontif. So this might make, would make matters a little bit worse. Fine. But if you're only fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa because of a suffik, whether you need to fulfill it or not, so then it would not require a bracha. And the classic example of that is sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, meaning one would only sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in order to fulfill the bracha, the mitzvah of a based on a suffik, that maybe it's still sukkahs, but because you may not be fulfilling anything, so therefore one would not make a bracha of Leisha Basukkah on that day. Okay, so all of that comes from the Kesef Mishnah, and therefore one would not require. Therefore, because the whole idea of whether one requires a Tafas Dam Bris in this case is only a suffik, one would not make a bracha on that Hatafas Dam Bris, as we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, another sugi or two that the Beis Yosef had. What? Correct. It's a suffik chiyuv d'oraisa. It's a suffik chiyuv d'oraisa. So there, right, that's not enough, right? The mitzvah we're going to do because it's a suffix, but you also have a question of a bracha levatala, so therefore we'll be makel under those circumstances. Okay? Right, similar to, in Hilchos Mezuzah, right? So Hilchos Mezuzah, there's plenty of cases that is a suffix, whether that's really a chiyuv d'oraisa or not. So you wouldn't make a bracha under those circumstances. For instance, mezuzahs in offices or mezuzahs when there's no door actually there. The Rambam holds you need to have a door. So that's a machlokes. So it's a machlokes, so therefore we're not going to make a bracha under those circumstances.
So a non-Jew who has already a milah, you do a bracha on it.
Correct.
Is that halacha?
Yeah. Right, that's the halacha. I'm not sure why we're having such Zoom problems tonight, but yeah. Okay, one more sugya here. And that is the Bedek HaBayis quotes from the Kusav, the Rashbats, or the Tashbates, in a tshuva. Al Hadetanya ein mafligin besfina pachus mishloshi yamim kodem Shabbos. That the Gemara tells us that one is not permitted to travel on a boat 3 days before Shabbos, meaning Thursday or Friday. It would be Wednesday. So why? So the Raza is, which is the Baal Hamor. So he says the time of Mifneshu who Davar Shi'iv Shar Shalo Yavo Lidei Chil Shabbos. That the reason is because it's not possible that it's not going to lead to some type of Chil Shabbos. V'nira Kemasna L'Chal Shabbos, and it's like you're going to be causing Chil Shabbos, the Shloshu Yamim Kodem Shabbos Mikri Shapta, because you're already preparing for Shabbos 3 days before Shabbos. So to do anything that's going to lead to Chil Shabbos is going to be a problem. So the Mikani Shlomo the Aser Lamal Hagir Biyom Hay. Therefore, you're not allowed to give. This is why I said Thursday. You're not allowed to give a bris to a ger on Thursday. So that the third day won't come on Shabbos. And therefore it's going to demand that one is Mechal Shabbos for it. And so to a Tinok that is sick and gets better, on Thursday we would wait until the next day. Meaning, actually, the way that he's saying is you wait until Friday, because day three is worse than day two. Right, so we actually discussed this in Hilchos Mila. We generally wouldn't do it on Friday either. But it's interesting to not so even a gear, we would not want to do a bris on Thursday or Friday. Now keep in mind the risks for a gear that actually has a full fledged bris are much more than it is for a baby. However, there is a bit of a question here, and that is, wait a second, this guy who's having his bris on Thursday, when's he getting? He's not Jewish yet, right? He's not Jewish until he goes to the mikveh. So when is that happening? It sounds like it's perhaps not happening. So I actually happened to be on the phone today with somebody. I don't have permission to share his name, but somebody who's very involved. I would say very, very, very involved in Geirus matters in the United States and in the world. And so I asked him this. I had a few questions for tonight that I was thinking about. So I raised this question to him. Like, wait a second, the guy's not Jewish. So he had a few potential answers to this. He said, first of all, who says? I mean, maybe there is an idea of going to the mikveh right away. So potentially, maybe you could go to the mikveh right away. How long exactly do you have to wait for him to heal? Maybe they would get him to heal right away. But also, one could say that the father, that who's the one who's going to be Machal Shabbos? I mean, you have a guy who is who already had his bris, so very nice. He's not Jewish, but if he's having a problem with his mila that just took place, who's he going to go to for help? The Jewish doctors, right? So, or the Jewish moel who's used to dealing with these types of things. So maybe it's not him that's going to have a problem with the. It's not him that's going to feel the need to be Machal Shabbos, but he might have the need to. He might have the need to cause someone else to be Machal Shabbos, and that perhaps is a reason to be nervous here. Fine, and then one more, and then also one more issue here. If we go to turn the page to Kuf Pei Hei, so there is one, their Beis Yosef reappears, right? It's one of these out of order Beis Yosefs. So on page Kuf Pei Hei, there are a couple of there's an Aleph Beis there, where he quotes from the Magid Mishnah, Shediktiku Ksas Meforshim Lama Ein Matbilin Osumiyad Kodem Shiyimel Mishum Deshiy Mitzvah Lo Mishayinan. Right? Why don't we? Maybe he should have the bris before. Sorry, he should go to the mikveh before the bris. That way, it would be very fast. Meaning, when you do the bris, so you have to wait a little bit of time in order to go to the mikveh, because you have to wait for him to heal. But if you just go, let him. If you do the mikveh first, So then you can do the bris right away, and all right, I'll take him a little bit of time to heal, but at least he'll be Jewish already. He'll be done. So v'teiritz haramban, the kemen shamila kasha lav malanu so tchila di parish lifrish lifrish. That because the mila is difficult, so maybe it's good to, if he chickens out, it's good for him to chicken out before he becomes Jewish rather than after he becomes Jewish. But if he would go to the mikveh first, and then as soon as you do the mila, it's over. There's no other chance for him to back down. So therefore, it's a good idea for him to do that first. Now, the Darkei Moshe even adds in that the quotes from the Nemukei Yosef, that if he goes to the mikveh first, before he has the mila, it's not good even b'dieved. But the Ramban says, no, that's, I'm not sure what his makor is. But the Ramban says, no, that b'dieved, it would be, the tefillah would work if it's out of order, just that he's giving his own answer as to why it's preferable to do mila first, and then, and only then, to go to the mikveh. Okay, so that is, that's enough in the Beis Yosef. So let's turn to the Shulchan Aruch itself. So in Shulchan Aruch, we open up Simin Rish Samach Ches. So the Shulchan Aruch says that Ger Shenichnas L'Kal Yisrael Chayiv Mila Tchila, V'im Mal Keshaya Ovi Kochavim, O Shenolan Mol, Tzarech L'Hatif Mimenu Dambris. That a Ger who wants to become Jewish, he needs Mila first. And if he had a Mila while he was still a non-Jew, or he was born with a Bris, he still requires Tzarech L'Hatif Mimenu Damris, but you wouldn't make a bracha on this. Right, notice the Oshin Nolan Mahol, that he was born already circumcised, that's added by the Ramah, because that was a bit of a machlokas in the Beis Yosef. So then he says, but he wouldn't make a bracha, as we already discussed, that he would not make a bracha. Right. And the Bior Gra actually adds in the line the Suffolk Brachos Lahakel, based on that Kesef Mishnah that we were quoting from earlier. However, the V'imni Keres Hagid, Eimi Lasu Ma'akeves Milihisgayer, V'sagi Le Bitvila. But if it's Nikeres Hagid, what does Nikeres Hagid mean? So, I think that is, it was totally... Keres Hagid, I think, was like totally like
Keres mean recognizable.
Yeah. I think he already had a health problem. Which would deem impossible. So then it would be okay for Tvila because there already was some type of circumcision. Adds in the Ramah, Tavol Kodem Shemal, Mo'ol de B'dieved Havei Tvilet. If you went to the mikveh first, that would be okay B'dieved, right, which is that Ramban. V'yishomrim de lo Havei Tvilet. And there are those who say that it wouldn't be a good Tvila, but adds in the Shach, Hilkach Yish L'Kayim V'litpol Achar Shemal Kein Kasu Ata'ai Turezav. That would be good, however, to go to the mikveh afterwards to be Machmir. Which is interesting, I mean, the Ramah is a Stam V'yesh, right? So how do you paskin in a Stam V'yesh? So the assumption is that the Ramah is functioning in the same way as the Shulchan Aruch itself, that he paskins like the first opinion and not like the second opinion. If so, why does he mention the second opinion? So the Shach is adding in, because if you have the ability to be machmer like that second opinion, so that would be appropriate to do. Now, there is a there is a very famous machlokas about the issue of what if he is not able to have a bris at all. I mean, it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch it's talking about a scenario where you couldn't do any more hatafas dam bris. Like there's not, you know, but there was he's not circumcised. There is a question of, is it at all possible to permit a circumcised person to actually convert? What would be the case? Why would we require that? If it's impossible, if it's not impossible to do a circumcision, what scenario would that be? So the question comes up regarding a hemophiliac, right? Can a hemophiliac become a Jew if he's not able to have a bris mila without dying, right? Without it being extremely dangerous for him to do so. So there is Shechter was fond of quoting this machlokas. There is. You want more water? Okay. Right. That there's three possibilities. One is yes, no, and maybe. Right. So the no would be just sorry. Like this is one of the requirements for you to become Jewish. If you're not able to fulfill that requirement, so like okay, you know, it's just sorry. You don't no ticket. You can't do it. So that is the. That is the no. Is it possible? What's the maybe? The maybe is could the person decide? Okay, I'm going to do it anyways. Meaning, even though it's a sakanas nefashos, I care so much. I want to go ahead and do this anyways. So the Sri Deish actually has this as a machlokas, and suggests that it would not be acceptable. Adding in, because it's so dangerous, it would lead to a chil Hashem if people find out that he went ahead and did it. Now, why? How exactly he can make it so that it's not ma'akiv, unless you just say, it's eino beratzel chachamim, meaning the chachamim are telling you not to do it, so don't go ahead and do it. The problem is that we do have a makor for people doing a bris that was dangerous and not required, but then seemingly being praised for doing so, right? And what case is that? So that case might be the Levium in while they were in the desert for 40 years, right? They didn't bring a Korban Pesach for the 40 years that the Jews were in the desert because they were Arelim. They did not have a bris. But the Levium went ahead and had it anyways, right? Because it wasn't dangerous for them. So it is, or because they were willing to accept the risk. So there is a discussion, which I didn't review it today. I believe the Meshech Chachma, there's a Meshech Chachma that discusses this issue, about who is right in that, or why, were the Levium at all protected in that, or were they not protected, or what exactly is the story there. So there is a famous Sri Deish where he rejects it. The Sri Deish is actually quoting from the Achiezer, where the Achiezer says that somebody showed me a proposal that maybe a hemophiliac could convert without having a circumcision. So Rav Shechter is fond of quoting this in the name of Rav Itzela Panovitcher, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich. And the way Rav Shechter tells the story over, that Rav Chaim Ozer Grzinski, who was the main posek in all of Europe, wrote a letter in response to Rav Itzela Panovitcher, asking him to, with all due respect, kindly, please stop paskening shilas. Right, so there was a opinion that out there to that you could go ahead. That the person could convert and would be okay. However, Rav Chaim Moser seemed to be against it. The Sri Deish was against it. The Tzitz Eliezer was against it. And I always assumed until today that. That was the general accepted psak, that if a person is not able to have a bris milah, sorry, you're just not going to be able to convert. So, but then I actually came across today a tshuva, or at least an essay, from Rav Asher Weiss. Actually, I could share the screen, right? I could do that somehow. But how do I... I'm going to share screen. Oh. Yeah, I can't, plus I'm not the host. All right, forget it. I'll put the link up. It's okay.
364
All right, that's the link. You can just click on the link if you want. It's a Hebrew tshuva, or an essay on Hilchos Mila. Here, I put the link in the chat. It goes to Rav Asher Weiss's website, and in section, Gimel, right? So if you go down in this tshuva on this link, so in section Gimel, right, it's entitled Geirus B'misha Meso Achiv Machmas Mila. Geirus for somebody whose brothers died as a result of Mila. And he quotes from Rav Zalman Saratskin this story that I was just telling you from Chaim Moser, that they showed him a certain sefer where the paskin, that a guy whose brothers had died because of circumcision, that he can convert based only on tvila, and Rav Chaim Moser disagreed. So Rav Asher Weiss starts up, like startingly, with Rav Chaim Moser Grzinski. I mean, I've noticed that Rav Asher Weiss might be the first person to openly start up with Rav Moshe Feinstein, like straight up. Here he's starting up with Rav Chaim Moser. And he says that he thinks it's based on a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, because we're a little near the Fi Shitas Rashi, right? The Arel Shemesu Achav Machlo, I'm in the second paragraph. Din Arel, Yeshlo, Upasul Pesach, Vilatruma Vadai, right? That let's say, right, you're exempt from giving your child a bris because his brothers had hemophilia. By the way, if you want, there's an article online from our community's own Rabbi Dr. Daniel Eisenberg on the topic of this topic of achiv meso achiv machas mila, because the Gemara never actually identifies what the disease is, right? So they're just seeing that siblings are dying, right? And what do we do about the third sibling, right? So at what point did they realize that this was hemophilia? So at some point in the 1800s, they realized that this is talking about a hemophilia issue. But anyways, so din arel yeshlo, right? But is the child considered an arel with regards to other halachos? So Rashi says yes. However, Rabbeinu Tam says no. That if the child, the child grows up as an arel because his brothers died as a result of being circumcised, they're not considered an arel. They're not considered uncircumcised, and therefore they're entitled to eat the truma, and they're entitled to eat the korban pesach. Okay, so Rav Asher Weiss suggests, based on that, and he points out that he's not the only one, that if the person is not an arel, perhaps that also means that they would be permitted to have a bris they would not require to have a bris in order to convert. If you take a look towards the bottom here, right, v'nei v'yavamos ayin alav, right, ibaylan ba'aral lifnei shmona yimei mila, imochel b'truma kevin shadayin lo higi azman mila, oshem mikol makom arel hu, and Tosus there says, kosu yushalmi depshitit de'in or, he's not an arel, nikidi truma, v'o kasu tosu sham, the vamto achiv mach the vameso achiv machas mila luchuliyama aser b'truma v'havi arel acharamban hevi rabbeinu tam the meso achiv machas mila havi ka'arel shelo bizmano ve'eno bar mila klal, right, he is not a bar mila v'nir lechor da'ad kan lo nechlu ve'ele im havi arel legabi achilas pesach v'truma achuliyama eno bar mila ve'in milaso ma'keves begeris, right, that maybe he is not, right, maybe the machlokas is only whether he's exempt from eating, whether he can't eat Pesach or Truma. But maybe you could say that the Mila, that his lack of bris would not hold him back from a conversion. That you're not going to find a proof to resolve this Shaila. The gam besvara in bazeh hechreya, ach netias levi says, I feel the yachol huli hiskayer, that he could convert lo mila without a mila, the chedas hamincha solas, like the opinion of the mincha solas, which he quotes there from David Zvi Hoffman, Zamen, from the Sefer Mincha Solas, which he quotes from earlier. So that's a pretty wild shita, right? That the child, right? So there, Minchas Asher is paskening against the standard psak of the last several decades, at least from what I, last century, and saying that such a person would be able to have to convert. So I don't know if I sent this over to my friend, who I said, who was pretty high up in the Mila world, and he just responded with one word, wow. Right? That's a pretty wild psak. But apparently it's out there. I don't know, nowadays we have ways of treating for hemophilia. In fact, Rav Asher Weiss has another tshuva about using lasers to do circumcision in the event of a hemophilia issue. Can you use lasers to resolve that problem? Where I believe he is making on that either. So I don't remember. It's in one of his tshuvos. In the Kolel, when I'm there for father-son learning on Motzei Shabbos, when they're doing the stories and the raffles and all that stuff, I've been flipping through Avasher Weiss's tshuva. So he has a tshuva on that topic. I just don't remember what his resolution is. And what? I can't really understand you. What? Yeah?
Based on the brothers.
Right.
Leading to death, let's say.
Correct.
But the truth is that there's like a 50-50 chance that the next one would have it. So nowadays, when we analyze the DNA to figure out whether he has the gene or not, would that change the thought?
I would assume it would. After all, a chazaka is only a, what we call a biur, not a anhaga. It's a anhaga, not a biur. Right, a biror is right. We consider rov to be stronger than chazaka because rov establishes the facts, as opposed to a chazaka just dictates what you should do. But if you could find more facts, that would outdo a chazaka. So I assume that would be a psak. I only flipped through Daniel Eisenberg's article today. It could be that he talks about it there. I'm sure in the Nishmas of Rum, in that section, it talks about it. Talks about it as well. Just one other little comment that the Nishmas of Ram here quotes. Does somebody who has a bris for the a real bris for the purpose of Mila, should he say a bracha of Hagomel once he converts? And he quotes from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that the answer is no. That he did that while he was still before he was Jewish, and therefore you wouldn't make Hagomel on something that happened to you before you were actually Jewish. And then one other significant issue that comes up along these lines is Rav Moshe. I mean, Rav Moshe Feinstein has many tshuvas on this, just because the world of Geirus was totally turned on its head in the last 60, 70 years because of the idea of the rise of intermarriage and the rise of non-Orthodox movements. So Rav Moshe has a whole, and we'll get into a bunch of them, but he has a very short tshuva about the issue, and it's also it's important when tracking these to track the years. So this one happens to be in the year 1965. A very short tshuva. I sent it in that pack, but I guess it didn't get out, that Google Drive link. Where he says that if the Mila was done by non-Orthodox rabbis, I mean, the question is, B'davar habachar sheniskar l'shem shemayim, when he was 16 years old, right? The kid had total intention to be frum, and he was learning in yeshiva for the last 3 years, and then somebody pointed out that he was circumcised in Buenos Aires by a doctor who clearly was, or actually that people doubted whether he was really Shomer Torah Mitzvos. And the Tvila took place in Montevideo. Where is that? That also in Argentina? Montevideo?
Uruguay,
okay. Right, okay, so his tefillah took place in Montevideo, where there were three people that were called rabbis, Reish, Beis, Aleph, Yud, Yud, Samach, which is Rav Moshe's pejorative term for non-Orthodox rabbinate, right? V'yesh chashash shema enam mimekayme mitzvos v'hein psulin liyos basin. And there is a concern that maybe they also are not those that mekayme mitzvos, and they're possibly part of a basin. So does he require another tavas dam bris? Does he require another mila? And he said, Rosha said, yeah, right, that he would. He would require a tavas dam bris in front of the three people that were kasher for a basin, lichat chila. But tzarech lipol pam shni, we have to do another tefillah in front of three people that were kasher without a bracha, because it's only a safek. And the tavas dam bris certainly would only be done without a bracha, because it would only be a suffix. All right, so I guess that deals with some of the mila tefila issues. Actually, one other interesting note that I found. Do I have the sefer? What was that?
Probably happens a lot now.
Yes. Yes, in fact, we have a member who made a whole comedy show over this, right? What's his name? Yisrael Campbell, who I'm not sure of. What? Right. So I think did he do it in shul, a circumcisement? Right. So he kind of builds up a little bit the what a toughest dam bris actually is. It's really not that big of a deal, but nevertheless, it is a right. One could come across it several times over the course of one's career. I do have a sefer here called Sefer Geirus Kehilchasa. So there was a note here that I wanted to bring up. Where is it? Right. Right. Okay. It was this issue that. Yeah, it's not so clear, but at least that's the way Rav Moshe holds, that you would require a new atafas dam bris, or even though maybe it doesn't require it to be l'shma, but all right, we'll leave that for another time. Okay, so yeshikach, I guess Hashem will pick up next week.